I'm reading from Hebrews chapter 6. Where is it? Had it all written. Oh, here it is. Yeah. Verse 13 to the end of the chapter. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the earth a promise, the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek.
Good morning, everyone. Please excuse me wearing a t-shirt. It's a little bit relaxed for me, I'll be honest. Normally on a Sunday morning, I'd go for a shirt, but it's a special day. I don't know if you can read my t-shirt, but it actually was bought for me and given to me this morning, Father's Day, and it simply says outnumbered by girls. So I grew up in a family, all boys, and my brothers had three boys, and there's, you know, a fair amount of boys knocking around. The Lord had other plans when it came to me and me being a dad. I'm ever so grateful to him. Let me just read a verse before we look at the scriptures. You might, if you've got a good memory, you might have been having a strange sense of deja vu, because the last time I stood here, I asked for that scripture to be read, and then I barely referred to it at all. I don't know if you remember that. So we're going to revisit. Just listen to these words we sang together. It's wonderful, isn't it, to sing? And thank you for the team who've led us this morning. What a privilege it is to sing words like this. God, our fortress and our strength, the rock on which we can depend, matchless in his majesty, his power and authority, unshaken by the schemes of man, never changing, great I am. Kingdoms rise and kingdoms fall. He is faithful through it all. Crown him King forever. Crown him King forever. Crown him King forevermore. And I don't know if you think about it, but the Lord is crowned. He is the King. But somehow, as we come to worship, ours is a great privilege and calling and vocation to be worshippers, joining with all the hosts of heaven, singing worthy. And somehow in our worship, there is a sense in which we acknowledge that great superiority of Christ as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And somehow this morning, there is a sense in which we've been able, so to speak, to somehow crown him, though he is crowned forever. Isn't that wonderful? I wonder at the dynamic of the relationship that the Lord has opened up for us, his people. This is not stagnation, my friends. We're not just hanging on in there and making it by the skin of our teeth, although sometimes we may feel that. But actually, we've been ushered in by his amazing grace to the wonderful flow and dynamic of the life of God. Isn't that wonderful? Praise God. Oh, wonderful. My heart was rejoicing as we sang those words. And thank you, Maureen, for reading the scriptures, and also for Pete reminding us of the comfort there is as we feast together around this table of the Lord's word. I don't know if you remember. If you don't, I'm just going to remind you, we focused in on this wonderful attribute of God as the immutable one. That's a big word right there, isn't it? Basically, it means the unchanging one. Our God is the great I am, the great unchanging I am. And last time I just reminded you, amongst many other things, he is eternal, self-existent, omnipresent, which means everywhere. Pete reminded us of that already this morning. Omniscient, which means knowing everything. Omnipotent, which means he's all-powerful, transcendent, other, imminent, near. And my notes nearly blew away just at an opportune moment right there. Righteous and holy, sovereign, merciful, good, gracious, just, and God is love. Don't you love describing this one? He is to captivate our hearts and our thinking. It's good to think about beauty and majesty and incomparable worthiness. This does us good to do that. Our focus is to be on him. Isn't it wonderful? And together to find that he grabs our attention. Praise his wonderful name. And we talked about how the Lord does not change. There were proof texts we looked at. And then, as it is with the passing of time, it got the better of me a little bit. So I'm going to just jump straight into this scripture. And interestingly, as I've been preparing in my heart this week, I believe the Lord's just reminded me of something that I wasn't particularly planning, but clearly he was. So it's Father's Day. Let's have a look at Father Abraham, shall we? We read in those scriptures, for when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, this is God, surely blessing, I will bless you. And multiplying, I will multiply you. And God spoke that into a context of impossibility. The onus was on God's character and the nature of his unchanging purpose and faithfulness. So often, and I understand how it happens, we seem to have a bit of a starting point as ourselves and our circumstance and our disadvantage or inability or whatever it might be. But actually lift up your heads and refocus on the great source, the initiator, the faithful one, the unchanging great I am. Glory to his name. And he says, surely, blessing, I will bless you. He says this to Abraham. Father Abraham. It's remarkable, isn't it? And we heard those scriptures read beautifully by our sister Maureen. It had that wonderful word, immutability, thrown in there a few times for good measure. And we will ponder that in just a moment. So, God promised Abraham, you can read this in Genesis chapter 12. We won't go there now, but God promised Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, I will make you into a great nation. And here it is again. I, God, will bless you. Just pause there for a moment. Do you realize that you are the recipients, the beneficiaries of Almighty God, who we just described briefly, and that was by no means comprehensive? Do you realize you are the beneficiary of the blessing of Almighty God? That's some status to have this morning. Just sit there and smile. I am an heir of blessing. I am a recipient of blessing. I am, like, in some sense, like Mary of old, a highly favored one. And that's not to have your heads swell with pride. And you say, well, yeah, it's to be expected. No, there's a wonderful kind of conjoining of who? Me? What is man that you are mindful of him? And this is the beauty of it. And this is supposed to work like this, that it causes in us such a deep sense of awe and wonder, and the if you like, the combination of the undeserved aspect of this favor, this grace, this mercy. Glory to his wonderful name. You're a recipient this morning, irrespective of anything that you've done or haven't done, of the blessing, the surely from God, the blessing of God. Oh, hallelujah. Wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. So God promised Abraham and said, I will bless you. But at that time, there was a slight, I say slight, obviously in his experience, it was fairly massive, kind of mountainous barrier issue problem. But from God's perspective, so we know at that time Abraham was, I think, 75, and he had no children. And God just told him, I'll make you a great nation. How could this be? And we know in the passing of time, the chronos, and I'm going to refer to this. I don't know if anyone was at the last fellowship gathering online. If you weren't, someone called Larry Hill from Ireland spoke. And one of his points, almost in passing, was he drew our attention to the difference between some of the Greek words that refer to time in the scriptures. And there's one, chronos, where we get chronology. You know, the seconds, the minutes, the hours, the passing of time. And then there's another word, kairos, which in the scriptures, if you look together at a range of examples, you get this sense of it's more, instead of quantitative, it's qualitative, if you like. And it's the sense of the opportune moment. And I love that you said now at the beginning. And now is the day of salvation. So you're kind of going along the time. It's fairly relentless, isn't it? I don't know if you've discovered that. It doesn't wait for anyone. I had an old Somali student back in the day at Granby Street when I was an English teacher. And he used to come in, morning, Teacher David. And then he'd pause and he'd say, the time and the tide wait for no man. And I'd say, that's excellent enunciation and proverbial wisdom too. Well done. He was just practicing his English and finding proverbs to encourage me. And I was thinking, he's right though, isn't he? Wow, yeah, we best get cracking with this lesson. The time and tide wait for no one. The chronos of time. I don't know if you've discovered it. We're subject to change on a daily basis. I've just been told I've got arthritis in my big toe. Wasn't expecting that. Aren't we? We're all subject to this. We might fight against it. We might try and dodge it, duck and dive. We might even try to go for a bit just for men round the sides here. I'm going to go gracefully. I'm not going for any product. Glory to his name that we can be connected with the great unchangeable I am, as this life is like sand slipping through our hands. We're trying to hold it up, pause it, get in touch with the unchangeable I am. So the passing of time for Sarah and Abraham, big problem, 75, how could this be? He had to wait with the chronology of time, 25 more years. And when he was 100, I don't know if you're familiar with this story. If it's new to you, this is a stunning story, and I'd encourage you to read it. It's absolutely brilliant, full of surprises. When he was 100, his wife, Sarah, gave birth to Isaac. Isaac means laughter. It was funny. It was now clear to Abraham that the promise could be fulfilled. You can read these scriptures in Genesis 17 and 21 as well. So in this way, after waiting patiently, Abraham received what was promised. Now, just, I hope this is coming across clear enough. So can you see here, we've made a reference, as Larry reminded us some time ago. So there's the passing of time. You can attach, if you like, Abraham waited patiently as the seconds and the minutes and the hours and the days and the weeks and the months and the years and the decades passed. I don't know if he had a watch. If it was me, I would have had a quick sneak peek every so often. And then, not Kronos, Kairos, Sarah, against all the odds, although from heaven's perspective, this was absolutely watertight. The unchanging nature of God's purpose is absolutely unshakable. So even if in the passing of time, it looks like everything is against it, and then it looks like it's gone way too beyond, if it's in God's unchanging purpose, it's a done deal. Sorry, that's an awful expression to apply to such a sublime truth. But do you hear me? It's absolutely belt and braces, signed and sealed. Glory to his wonderful name. He is the great, unchangeable I am. So in Abraham and Sarah's experience and their waiting, and you know what, even in that chronos of time, that relentless ticking of the clock, God was not wasting a moment. You see, if we get in touch with the great unchangeable one, even in the journey through the valleys and through the mountaintops and through what seems like time's cul-de-sacs, if this one thing is done and dusted and absolutely sure in our own hearts, our relationship with the great unchangeable I am, then nothing is wasted. We might go through times where we genuinely think, why? What on earth is going on? But I tell you, what on earth is going on is heaven's plan of love and redemption and purpose. Because it's all about him. And listen, in this passage, it's so wonderful. So after waiting patiently, Abraham received what was promised. We focused a little bit on Abraham, maybe because it's Father's Day, I'm not quite sure. Let's just look at Sarah, shall we? In Hebrews 11, you can read this beautiful, beautiful truth. It says that Sarah received strength. Do you know the verse? Sarah received strength, that's the ability to conceive seed. And then it goes on to say, even though she was past age. Now get this, and I had not seen this before. That word age is kairos. So listen, friends, think about it. I just broke my heart. Just listen. Sometimes in our experience of life, we may have got onto the fact that it seems there are opportune moments that come. Have you sensed that? Sometimes it's almost a bit mundane, and then suddenly there's like a, this is a moment. We might not have thought of it in terms of Kronos and Kairos. Do you recognize that in your own experience? Well, sometimes, my friend, you may have felt that time, that opportune moment, that window has long gone. That ship has sailed. But from the scripture here, we see from this wonderful nuance of the mercy and grace and the tender care of our Father, the great unchangeable I Am. He treasured that dear woman. And even though the opportune moment had long gone, it says of Sarah that she received strength, dunamis, ability from God to receive, if you like, from a slightly different perspective, the promise of Isaac. I don't know if you've been praying long for someone. And maybe you sensed some years ago a window of opportunity was opening. And then it seems as if the door's closed. And maybe in your heart you're thinking that ship has sailed. I don't know how to express this. It's something the Lord just gave me in the week. Maybe it's for someone here, maybe a few. It was surely for me. Absolutely for me. There were specific names attached to this word that the Lord brought to me. And I came fresh again and brought them to him and said, Lord, whether it seems to be opportune or not, you've spoken to me. I've had another Kairos moment, even though I thought that ship had sailed. Can you hear me? I feel like I'm not quite delivering this, but I believe it's something from the Lord for us to bring hope and comfort, like Pete said. When the Kairos time had passed for Sarah, because it's all about the great unchangeable I Am. In this passage, more than many passages, we get this clear note of the unchanging nature of God's purpose. And it was absolutely God's purpose to bring Isaac to fruition. And we, just think about that, we are here in this tent this morning, 20th of June. I'm talking Chronos time here, 20th of June, 2021. And approximately 17 minutes past 11, and the time is ticking. And soon we'll be thinking we need to end this particular thing. Do you see what I'm talking about? And yet, in the mix, and can I compete? That was prophetic. Listen, Brian spoke last week and he said, now, today is the day of salvation. So the slight danger of thinking about Chronos and Kairos is we might be sitting there thinking, oh, it's all a bit mundane, but bless the Lord, there may come a time where the waters are stirred and something might happen that's a little bit out of the ordinary. You know, can I just tell you, right now is the time. As the time ticks by, right now is the time. This is the time. It may be for some of you here this morning, this is the time when God Almighty is speaking directly to you. And if you mix it with faith, that response, the transformation, not just for now, but for all eternity, takes place. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? Glory, glory to the great, unchangeable I Am. We read in Mark 1:15, Jesus says, the time is fulfilled. Repent. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. You know, we read in the scriptures, don't we? In the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son. Bless the Lord. Can you see those two aspects? The passing, the waiting patiently. And there's these moments of connection, these opportune moments. Now, maybe you feel like you've missed opportunities. Can I say to you in the name of Jesus, do not be entangled with disappointment and feeling like that ship has sailed and life has passed you by. This is the appointed time, my friends, this morning. Right now, we don't know what we've got going forward, do we? But we do know that this now is the accepted time. Today, from God's perspective, from when Jesus came to when he's coming back, is a day of grace. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. We can, by faith, respond to him and find that internally we are completely reinvigorated and filled with fresh hope, even though circumstances may not change or may still be really difficult, but inside that fire can be kindled afresh. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Oh, how wonderful he is. So wonderful. And then in the story that we've read in Hebrews, we know, if you are familiar with how this pans out, Isaac now is a reality. Surprising though that may be. And then the Lord comes again to Abraham and asks him to sacrifice Isaac. Staggering. Absolutely staggering. This was going, I just made a note here, right to the very core and heart of the promise for whom Abraham had waited so patiently. These are such deep, precious things, my friends. We can't really neatly package them up. They're the things of the heart, right at the very depths of us as human beings. And this is somehow an unveiling of God's great, unchanging purpose. He is trusting this dear man, Father Abraham, with something so precious that is prophesying the coming of the one and only, the Christ, the joy of heaven, to save this broken world and set anyone right for all eternity who would just come to him running for mercy. And he's working this out all those many, many chronos years before. I love the way God in his great unchanging nature is willing to change status and get involved in the thick of the mess of human life. There's no one like him. Bless the name of the Lord. Amazingly, Abraham obeyed. And we can read again, if you want to read it, it's in Genesis 22. The promise is then repeated, but this time when God made the promise, and this is where we come to our passage again in Hebrews, this time when God made the promise on the back of what had happened with that follow through, that obedience of Abraham on Mount Moriah, God made the promise again and swore by himself. And so we read, don't we? And this is just a remarkable application. It says in our passage, verse 17, thus God, determining to show, listen, more abundantly to the heirs of promise. Who's that, my friends? Who are the heirs of promise? We are, us, me, you, and countless others by his amazing grace and reach. So thus God, determining, can you hear the force of the language? It's the surely, determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise the unchanging nature of his counsel, the unchanging nature of his purpose and plan and great heart. He confirmed his word by an oath that by two unchangeable things, this honestly, this is the best belt and braces you will ever find in the whole of the universe. This is God's word, which is unchanging and absolutely watertight and unshakable. And God swearing, because there was no other greater by himself. In a sense, it was unnecessary, but he did it in order to persuade us, assure us, bless us, comfort us. Oh, praise him. Sorry, I'm getting a little bit excited. I think this is just amazing. Who, me? Oh, praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. And then it says, by two unchangeable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie. Well, it's impossible for God to lie just on one of those two things. So let's ramp it up. What's the point of all this? It's that the heirs of promise should really get it and understand it and not be tossed about by every wind of doctrine, but settle down deep into that wonderful rest of God that we heard about last week. We might have a strong consolation who have fled. Is that your testimony? Do you realize now that you fled to Jesus for refuge? To lay hold, and we heard about hope at the beginning again, didn't we? To lay hold of the hope set before us, this hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. There's more doubles. Sure and steadfast, which enters the presence behind the veil where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become a high priest forever. We can read in Hebrews that he is the unchangeable priest. Because, why? He continues forever. Oh, glory to his wonderful name. Absolutely marvelous to think on these things. I trust I've been able to communicate some of what's been on my heart this morning. I'd like us to sing a chorus. Would that be okay? Faithful one. So unchanging. And listen, I want us to use this as we open our hearts. You might want to stand up. Use this opportunity, whatever your situation is, whatever circumstances you are facing this morning. This is a moment of opportunity within the context of the fact that this is the day of grace, the day of salvation. We can reconnect, if necessary, with the great, unchangeable I am. Bless his wonderful name. Is that okay if we sing this chorus together? Don't you just love him? Oh, praise his name.